Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My pleasure to be joined tonight by Rebecca from Living Compassion. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Michael. It's good to
be here. How
are you? I'm good. How are you?
Great. Great.
Good.
I'm excited you're on the air with us tonight.
Well, thanks. Me too. It's a fun opportunity.
Yes. So tell us all about Reflective Listening Buddies.
Well, Reflective Listening Buddies is it's a wonderful program that folks really all around the world participate in a 30-minute conversation with another Sangha member to just practice reflective listening and, you know, take time each week out of their schedule to build in some time to really look at what's coming up for them. It's a wonderful invention of this practice.
It is a wonderful invention of this practice, of which there are many.
Yes, that's so true, isn't it?
Yes. So for people who are not familiar with reflective listening, can you say a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, it is basically just a person would put you know, talk about really anything they would want to talk about, and their reflective listening partner would just simply repeat back what they hear. Reflective listening, for me, is just the purest mirror that we have in order to see ourselves, to really kind of face and see what processes we're doing. So reflective listening is simply that. People say back or reflect pretty much as, you know, as much as we can, word for word, what we hear.
Yes, it's interesting you use the word mirror, because that's really what practice offers us. And in this particular case, it seems that what you're pointing at is really as much as possible to be a mirror, using the exact words that people are saying.
Yeah, exactly. And for those of us who really love and do this practice, it's a great gift, a great tool.
Yes, it is. Would you like to do a little sample of reflective listening?
Yeah, that would be great. Kind of model it for folks, huh?
Great.
And I have to reflect to you?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, good.
So I noticed that there are times like today, particularly before this radio show, where I find myself really busy and frantic.
So you notice that there are times like today, right before the radio show, that you find yourself busy and really frantic.
Yes, and I know the experience of being sort of busy and moving quickly through life, and perhaps my body is moving quickly, and also at the same time being present to that activity and what's going on. And I noticed today it was more the body busy and the mind busy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know the experience of being really busy and the body's being busy doing things and the mind is quiet. But today you were noticing that it's more of the body busy and the mind busy.
Yes, and to me that reminds me of why we call this a practice, because I know the experience of being, quote, busy or doing things quickly, and also being present to that in a way that feels peaceful and relaxed.
Yeah, so you know it's why we call it a practice, because you know the experience of being, quote, busy and the other experience. And I didn't catch that last word that you said.
Can't remember either.
Of the second part of it being really
peaceful.
Say quiet.
Peaceful and quiet, yeah.
Peaceful and quiet, yeah.
Rebecca, you're a great mirror.
Well, thank you. And even when you notice how I didn't catch that last part, the world didn't fall apart or come to a halt because I didn't reflect exactly what you said, right?
Yes.
You noticed that.
Yes.
So that's the beauty, I think, about, well, this practice in general, but reflective listening in particular, is that it really is just all the stuff of practice. You know, you can't make a mistake, because it's just all something to then to look at and notice what that brings up for you, and how we can use, you know, quote, making a mistake to cause ourselves to suffer.
Yes, indeed, yes. And it reminds me, as you're talking, that Reflective Listening Buddies really reflects some of the new directions we're going in the sense that it's really available to anyone, anywhere in the world, you know, who has access to a telephone. And yep. I just forgot my second point. So we'll circle back to that one too.
Well, and I, you know, where I was going with that was anyone who has a telephone and who is willing to follow the guidelines of the program. I mean, there is a training process. We have a training conference call for all folks who are new to the program or who have set out for a quarter or two and want to come back. And so, people really have to agree to follow the guidelines, because just like when we go to the monastery, we give our consent. We follow the guidelines to really create this privileged environment that is so crucial for a program like this.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly the direction I was going in, which is, as you say, the reflective listening buddies reflects practice in the sense that we are required to support the privileged environment.
Yeah. And if folks who are listening don't know what that means, not to worry. We cover all that on the training calls and answer questions all along the way. So you really do not have to be an expert or even experienced. You could be brand new to the practice and receive some good training and support for this program.
Yes. And for people who are not familiar, do you want to take a minute or two and say a little bit about the privileged environment and how that's maintained?
Oh, yeah, that's just one of my favorite subjects. It's just real real briefly, because I know it's running out of time, but the privileged environment is basically a way for us all to practice in a very safe environment where we are encouraged to own our own projections, to speak with I statements, to resist the temptation to try to help or offer advice or think that people are in any way inadequate to their experience. And so the privileged environment is kind of we have the guidelines that are in place to preserve that, so that we all can really look at whatever we want to look at, knowing that that's going to be as safe an environment as humanly possible.
Yes, yes. It struck me as you're talking, it seems that what the privileged environment does is it sets up the how of our interactions.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that whatever the content is will happen within the context of that how, that process.
Yes, it really does make it possible, doesn't it?
Yes.
For
yes.
the what's to emerge and to be recognized.
Yes, yes. And as you say, it's really set up to be as safe as possible so that we have that opportunity to look deeply at what's going on without any interference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, or any interference that we have, we bring to it,
Yeah.
And we get to see that.
Yeah, and it's pretty obvious, isn't it, after a while?
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess you might say, in a manner of speaking, this program is really for the brave of heart, the ones that really want to see it, see what we're bringing to our own, how we contribute to our own suffering.
Yes, yes, indeed. It does require us to be brave. And it reminds me, as you say that, what comes up for me is that we're brave enough to find the willingness to see that there actually is nothing wrong with us.
Yeah. Yep. You said a mouthful there.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's really a beautiful system in my experience.
It really has changed and deepened my practice in ways that I would have never thought something so simple could do. I really wholeheartedly recommend it to folks to explore.
Yes. And before you go, perhaps you can remind us about signing up and deadlines and how to do that.
Yep, that would be great. We're going to be sending an email out to all the folks on the Living Compassion list, so that will have a direct link to register. But if you're just really eager and want to look into it right this minute, you can go to the Living Compassion website, livingcompassion.org, and under the Monastery Peace Center, there's a link to reflective listening, and you can send an email. There's the email address right there. So the deadline for brand new people, so that we can get them on a training call, the deadline will be April the 3rd to register. And for those who are currently in the program, the deadline to register will be April the 10th. And so, say it again.
I see, yeah. So the deadline for new people is Friday, April 3rd, and people who are currently in the program have another week to register.
Yeah, that's right. And then the new quarter will start April the 15th, and we'll just you know, we'll communicate all along the way of what the next step is to be. So we don't really need to go into all that now, but just to know that keep your eyes out for the email or send us an email via the website if you want to make sure you get notification of how to register. And we will take it from there.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rebecca.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's great talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. Good night.
Listen, tune in to Sherry now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. There,
hi.
I just did my first reflection.
Well done.
Well done.
You know,
that
I want to.
Great.
Yes, it was very fun. And I find myself wanting to say good afternoon, given all that sunlight that I'm seeing out here.
I know, it's the best, isn't it?
Really, nice.
It is the best. Yeah, we were just down in the garden, as a matter of fact, at the monastery, turning garden beds and having a little meeting, making our gardening strategy and laying that out, and it's just, and then it's, you know, time to go to the radio show, and it's like, it's the middle of the day. It's very good.
Yes, it's very good. How's the garden coming?
Well, it's lovely. And
we've had
a little kind of a critter that apparently is not a stranger to this part of the world, who eats the little roots off of the plants when they go in. So,
oh, wow.
We've struggled with the garden for a little while, but now we feel like we've got a good program. We left the ground without any plants in it for a while, which discourages them. They'll go somewhere else and find something else to eat. And then we're told to turn it repeatedly and get all of the organic matter out of it, so that it doesn't encourage anybody who shouldn't be there to be there. And then we got some instruction to grow our transplants a little larger before we put them in, so that the root system is stronger when they go in the ground. So we're feeling quite optimistic this year.
Great.
Yeah. We'll be bringing some fresh vegetables down to you.
Oh, good.
Don't you worry.
Yeah.
We'll do our standard 150 tomato plants and then just be overwhelmed with tomatoes. You know, tomatoes are so satisfying to grow. I think that's why people, you know, grow so many of them. They're so beautiful and so productive. And
yes.
So anyway, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's just so beautiful. The only thing is, I'm going to organize a rain dance because, as you know, we need rain. And you know, we could be looking at our last rain of the year for all we know. And if that's the case, it would just be a disaster. So,
yes.
Rain dancing.
Mm-hmm. Last week you were talking about dancing with the family, and this week it's rain dancing.
Rain dancing. Dancing is clearly on my horizon, isn't it?
Clearly essential to awareness practice.
Yes, because, as a matter of fact, I was somewhere recently and people were tap dancing, and it just reminded me that all of my life I've wanted to tap dance. So, yeah, clearly.
Great.
Clearly. I'm on a dancing jag here.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have a lot of red lights here.
Okay, good. And I can't talk for 20 minutes and then we run out of time and tell people they have to call earlier. So I'm going to be responsible this time.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris from Seattle.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good.
Yeah, you spoke to my wife last week about our children, and the assignment was to be more specific time-wise when we do our little family get-together,
mm-hmm.
and try and do it between 4 and 6.
Uh-huh.
And we
Good.
Did. And,
Good.
Now, the temptation, boy, it seems like a minor miracle. I mean, half the time they didn't even say anything, but I don't know. It just made all the evenings, except for one when we didn't do it because of a weird schedule thing, all the evenings went more smoothly. And oddly enough, of course, the one evening that we didn't do it, it didn't go as smoothly. And it just seems to get everything, even, you know, usually at, like at the dinner table, they'll just, they have a tendency toward extreme silliness. And, you know, we're actually able to sit and more or less have a kind of a conversation through dinner. And it was just, in fact, we were doing it now. It was a little difficult, but I was trying to dance while listening to the intro to the show. I heard you talking about, I just barely heard you say something about dancing just before a minute ago. I thought, oh, there's a segue. So,
yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Chris, the thing that to me is so important about it, for all of us, this is true for children, and it's, I think, way more true for us as adults, practice. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to keep practicing. We have to commit. And we have to do it over and over and over until we wear resistance down. And then we begin to really to see the benefits of the effort and energy that we've put into something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard to stay with it because there's so much resistance, and then there are so many things that can come up to interrupt and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just continuing to come back to that commitment. And, you know, it's a wonderful teaching for the children because what they see is people practicing. They see that you make a commitment to do something, and it's not about perfection because there will be things that interfere with it. But the attitude of mind that's behind it is one of commitment and willingness. So they watch people, their parents, very significant people, make a decision to do something, make a commitment, and then stick with it. And they see how you do that. So 20 years from now, they don't have to be those people who do something, and then the first time they don't do it, the voices jump on them and call them a failure and beat them up and cause them to drop their commitment and quit doing what they're doing. So there's a lot of important stuff in every aspect of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, it was as we went on, you know, we really, there were a couple of nights when we really had to do some serious head scratching to figure out, you know, we'd be talking in the early afternoon while I'm at work and, okay, well, when are we going to do our sharing? And, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to get home at this time and then, well, I'm scheduled, you know. So
yes.
It takes some talking to sometimes. Not every day is like this. Lisa's got some school conferences going on this week, so it's extra busy in the afternoon. But normally, it's something we can definitely work into. But there are times when we really have to discuss it and plan it, and I'm really seeing how vital it is to do exactly that because it just seems to be making such a huge difference.
Yes. So it's what, as adults, we go through with something like meditation practice. You know, I have a commitment to awareness practice. Now, how am I going to do that during the day? And, of course, conditioning wants us to set up a rigid schedule that we're not going to be able to keep. So, again, we get to be called losers and failures and talked out of doing it. But instead, we stay in that place of awareness that you're describing. We stay with the how the day is unfolding, and how can I make this work? How can I fit this in? How can I? When we are really committed, we can usually find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes not. Sometimes life throws us curves that we just simply can't get around, and that's fine. That's why we're fond of saying, God made tomorrow.
Yes, and my mom was asking me something about this, and she was asking me about our mornings, and we, as part of the LBK class, we got our morning meditation time all set up. We're getting up earlier, and so my mom asked me, well, I can't remember exactly how she phrased it, but she was like, do you feel guilty if you miss your meditation some nights? I said, well, no, I'll get it tomorrow, but we were able to. Yeah, in fact, we always get it. The hardest days are times of days off for morning meditation, but we're working on that one.
Well, yes, and I think it's just great that your mother asked you that because I project that gives an insight into what happens with her, you know, what her conditioning was. Mm-hmm. If she couldn't do something perfectly, she would feel guilty about it. And so, again, you know, it extends out. So it's not only you're affecting your children, you're affecting your parents. you know, with this, no, actually, we're doing this to feel good and to enjoy life and be successful. So if we miss one, you know, we're just that much more committed to the next day. And maybe, who knows, you know, if you, there might be something that your mother would like to take on, but she's afraid to, because if she doesn't do it perfectly, she's going to get a beating, and it might give her the encouragement to branch out a little.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, I'll be calling back in 6 weeks, but actually I'll be calling back in 2 weeks. We're going to be on vacation, so but we're going to bring the cell and have a vacation call.
Wonderful. Well, that'll be lovely, and it'll produce a whole different set of practice opportunities.
Yes, it will.
Mhm. Good.
It'll be much warmer and sunnier where we'll be too.
Where are you going?
Mazatlan.
Oh yeah, that will be warmer and sunnier than where you are in Seattle. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's wonderful. All right. Well, you have a great time.
We will. Thank you. And thanks again for your assignment. It's been great, and we look forward to keeping it up.
Yes, good. We look forward to hearing. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night, Chris. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
I want to go with them.
You want to go with them?
Don't you think? Why is it long now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Sherry. This is Beth.
Beth!
Yes.
We had a truncated conversation. Is that correct? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, I had computer problems last week.
Yes, so what have you seen since... Oh, that's right. You just disappeared mid-sentence.
Actually, that was a while ago. I didn't get on to the last 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Last week.
All right. So what have you seen between now and then?
I am not at center.
Horrors.
And
but
I can't
where are,
seem to
where,
find
where
it.
Where are you? Where are you?
Deep in the story. I got to pay my rent. Job work isn't coming as easily as it did before.
Well, that's
trickle
the
down
truth,
effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not as much
so
money. Left over.
So is it kind of, has it reached panic or just constant worry?
Well, no, it's just, that's both.
Uh-huh.
But
the constant
just kind of
worry.
Yeah.
The constant worry can take you directly into panic.
Kind of like without the Sangha support, my daily meditations have gotten shorter. And
uh-huh.
I've got a work meditation that's worked for me for years, so it's a pretty established practice that I rely on. But you know, working meditation isn't enough. It's a good support,
no.
But it's
that's
not
correct.
The same.
No, it's
and
not.
I know that, so it's my fault
uh-huh.
that I can't find center.
Uh huh. Yes. That is how the system likes to lay it out, right? So.
Well, you know, it's like if I'm suffering, it's because I'm choosing something over-ending suffering.
Well, you are. You're choosing to be in a conversation with conditioning.
Yes.
Yes. Now, see, it doesn't like it when it gets turned around that way.
Well, yes. I see both sides, and I see through it, but I'm still caught in it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'm having an... I have a mean neighbor who has gotten very spiteful.
Uh-huh.
And my garden has been a great deal of joy in the last couple of years, but I can't even go out the back door. And
what does your neighbor do?
Oh, he's endangering my cats. He's opening the cat gate so the cats can run free and get hit by cars.
I see.
And... conversation is not possible. And you see, that's the story, and I know that, but I am so caught in it,
uh-huh.
and there's no solution.
Yes, I can see that the common threads here, this is a terrible situation, and there is no solution.
Yes.
But the fact that there's no solution doesn't keep a person from telling the story over and over and over.
Yes. I've heard the story 75 times a day.
Conservatively, right?
Yes. Even when I'm not aware that I'm hearing it, I'm hearing it.
Yeah. So even though there's no solution, it's important to talk about the problem nonstop.
Yes. But I'm not even aware that I'm hearing it.
Uh-huh. And so what do you think is going on when you're not hearing it?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, you don't really know if it's going on or not because you're actually not there to know whether you're hearing it or you're not hearing it.
And it feels like I'm experiencing the story. It feels like it's just too much.
Mm-hmm. So, Beth, what is the solution?
Sitting.
Is it?
It's worked in the past. I remember having experienced center. I remember experiencing deep center.
Uh-huh. And so what you're telling me is that if I'm tracking here, that what you need to do is sit to find a deep center. Now, is that an escape from the story, or is it a way not to go back into the story? Because I'm guessing you can't sit 24 hours a day.
I think it's something I can do to control the situation.
Yeah, so you can have a little respite there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course, you could knock yourself out and have the same sort of respite, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
Uh-huh.
I have a whole series of addictions that'll temporarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that the point of all of this? That you then get to do things to escape it?
No. No, which is kind of the question I had last week. I've been wondering, it's been feeling like if I could just cry. Like I'm stopping the process. Like I can hear my dad's voice, stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about.
Uh-huh.
Like,
oh, gosh, we're related. We have the same father.
It goes deep about not being upset.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I was wondering.
Adults don't like children to be upset.
No. I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I've learned.
Uh-huh. Now let me ask you this question. What is this in aid of?
The panic? What is the panic
the
in aid
whole,
of?
The whole thing. The whole thing. So
it keeps me identified.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
You've got a mean neighbor who lets the cats out. There's no work. You're not going to be able to pay the rent on the place next to the mean neighbor for that much longer anyway.
Exactly.
And so what is this whole thing about? What is the point that we have here? So the plan is, so all of that's going on, and then if you sit enough, you'll be able to escape it.
Yep.
For a while, but then you'll just go right back into it. So it sounds like... you know, in Africa, they have these things, not where we are, but apparently someplace, these things called play pumps. And when the people want water, they get the kids to play on this merry-go-round thing. And the merry-go-round goes around, and then it pumps the water up. Okay? And so I'll give you another little image to go with it. When years ago, I lived in San Francisco, and I worked there. And I realized one day that I only lived there so that I could work there so that I could live there.
Yes.
And I left.
I've moved 37 times in my life.
Not very far, though.
Not the same way.
Yeah.
I just kept finding the same thing over and over again.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so to me, that's what we've got going. We've got a play pump going. So if we want to keep identity going, you get on the same merry-go-round and get into the same story, which brings the worry, the anxiety, the panic, the beatings, the self-hate. And as long as that merry-go-round is going around, that identity and all of that stays in place. And I think the important thing to realize about this is you're not going to be able to use practice to allow yourself to maintain that.
I'm not going to be able to use practice to allow myself to maintain that.
Yes, because what I'm hearing is you want to be able to use sitting to maintain it. So instead of getting to an edge where you say, this is really nuts, okay, I am going to stop this behavior, what you want to do is use sitting practice to give you enough of an escape that you can stand to go back to it.
Because I got to pay my rent. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am doing that.
Yeah, so it
that is
so,
happening.
Yes, yeah, so it won't work.
It's not working, no.
No, it won't work. It can't work. It doesn't work, however we want to say that. It's not your fault. It's just it doesn't work. So if we had that play pump over a dry hole, you could just go around on that thing until you couldn't stand up, and you're not going to get any water out of it because it doesn't work that way. And what you're doing doesn't work that way. So it's not personal. It's not your fault. It's not like you're doing something wrong. It just doesn't work that way.
It's not even external.
No, it just doesn't work that way. It's like,
yeah.
You know, I really, really, really want to live to be 200 years old. I think that would just be the coolest thing. I really, mm-hmm. really, I really, really, really want to do that. Okay? But it's not going to happen. Okay, it may, and water may materialize in that dry hole, but the odds aren't good.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet,
no,
that we know of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I'm here to tell you, sister. You're attempting to do something that cannot be done, and I would not be, I would be remiss if I didn't point that out to you.
I can see that is what I have been doing. I've been using practice to
try to maintain suffering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever
so
the intent is.
Yeah. So the important thing now is to face the circumstances.
Ah, oh, geez.
I know. I know. I wish I had better news for you. I really do. Yeah. Because, as you know, you move 37 times, you do whatever it is, and the story is exactly the same.
Yes.
The story will be the same as long as you will allow the story to be there. The story is not going to change. You could move anywhere, and the story is not going to change until you're no longer willing to indulge the story.
I've been using practice as an avoidance technique.
Yes. Many people have tried.
And I've been very, very talented at it. Okay.
Well,
and facing the story, facing that's different though, isn't it? Facing the story versus facing the circumstance.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And that's for me.
Well,
my tendencies for avoidance.
Yeah. Here's the deal. What the story is how suffering is maintained. So the story is completely invested in maintaining the story. So if we were to call that whole process egocentric karmic conditioning or the illusion of a separate self, it is completely dedicated to maintaining that story in some variation or another. It will
Alex
always
sent out a cartoon.
Pardon me?
Alex's Western cartoon.
Yes.
With the still small sheriff.
Yeah. Yeah. So as long as you're willing to indulge that story, it's always going to be there. And the story is, it's not going to work. I can't do it. Oh, my God, there's no way out of this. I'm not going to survive. This is horrible. Okay, that's always the story of suffering. The content, you know, you plug in different neighbors,
mm-hmm.
plug in different, you know, work or money or relationship or whatever it is, but that's going to be the story. So as long as that system is in place, wherever you go and whatever you do, it's going to try to run its number. The only freedom is getting out of relationship with conditioned mind. That's it. Now, as you know, living out in the world is not an easy way to do that because there's no support for it. What there is support for is exactly what you're experiencing. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you have your assignment. Now the work is to see what it is that you want to do with this information. Now, it'll take Michael a little while to get this radio show up on the wherever it goes and wherever he puts them. But once it's up there, I would encourage you to go there, get it, and transcribe it so that you get really clear about this conversation and what you've realized. And then when you're really clear about that, you can start looking at what you're willing to do about this whole thing. Okay?
Yes.
Your assignment.
I'm willing.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Let me know.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do. And we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Michael, I want to make a little comment about that sponsor.
Yes.
That guy with the guitar.
Yes.
He's not totally truthful.
Tell me more.
They're really good at what they do.
Yes, they
are. I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay.
He's being modest, making it sound like they were just sort of good at what they do.
He's the modest.
But we happen to know that it's not like that, right?
Yes, we have good evidence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're clear. What's next?
Okay. Many callers is what's next.
Good. Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking at a process. And,
which is always exciting, isn't it?
It is. It's very exciting. And I just want to just throw this in. I was inspired to look at it from because of a reflective listening call this morning. So I just want to put in a plug for the program.
Oh, very good, very good. It is.
Yeah.
It is just astounding, isn't it?
Yeah.
That something so simple could be so powerful. It's one of those things that a person is just not going to believe until they have their own experience, which is, you know, very Buddhist. So, okay, so tell us about your process.
Well, what I'm seeing is that I endure my life. So I endured my former job until I couldn't endure it anymore, and I left, and now I'm enduring being out of work and the nervousness around finding another job and the job hunting, and I'm afraid I'm going to find another job that I just have to endure because...
Or that you're not going to find one, and then you have to endure poverty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I realized today that I even endure walking my dogs.
Ooh.
And I love and adore my dogs. And walking them is, I can't wait till this is over. And
wow.
We got to get back, and we got to, and it's just it's a never, I'm either enduring it like, oh gosh, I got to do this, or I'm just trying to get through it as fast as I can. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of space in there for enjoying my life and enjoying what I have.
No, of course not. Of course not. And you know what that is, right?
I'm sorry?
You know what that is. You know what's going on, right?
It's self-hate. It's conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that illusion of a separate self having a life and you not having one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
And you know, and I can promise you, if nothing changed about this, I could promise you this, that at the moment of death, what you would hear is, you wasted your whole life.
I know. I know.
Which
I
can only guess would be a very fast little elevator ride into hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm being told that now.
Mm.
I hear that now.
So how are you going to call a halt to this?
Well, I'll tell you what I've done is when I see this. Today I was seeing this. I would I would go up in my head, or I'd be up in my head, and I'd become aware I'm in my head. Then I'd go back up in my head where it would kind of be, here you are enduring again. You're not having fun. You're not enjoying yourself. You're not alive. And I would respond, whatever, and come back to the breath. And that works. And it's just that so short, it's just a brief moment in time, and then I'm back in it, it feels like.
So here's the thing. It's really great because the way you describe it, self-hate or the illusion of separation, ego, whatever, however we want to talk about that, is now in charge of pointing out to you how you are going along with what it's doing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's always taking the next step back to point at how it's your fault. Right? So you listen to it. You go up in your head and you do the, oh, God, I can't believe I have to walk those dogs that I adore again. and then you go, oh, my God. And you come to. And it says, look, there you are doing it again. You see? So it just steps back,
mm-hmm.
you know, makes a little fast turn, and it's in charge of your life again. So when you say whatever, and you come back to the breath, of course, you have actually taken charge of your life. You're actually there, right? And it feels completely different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it seems to me that when I, what hooks something that I think is hooking me back in is bad feelings come in, like those emotions come in.
Uh-huh.
So I'm in a moment of awareness, I'm in whatever, and I come back to the breath, and then, conditioning just comes in. I guess it'll use whatever it wants to use. It just,
oh, yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, if you're having an emotion, you know, that could be cause for celebration. You are, after all, a sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're feeling
I'm
something.
Alive, yeah.
You're doing the right thing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be feeling stuff. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I admit I get kind of crazy where this stuff is concerned, but, you know, it's life and death. And the way you lay it out, or the way Beth was talking about it just a little bit ago, it's obvious that it's life and death. You know, you're either going to have your life or you're not going to have your life. You're going to be dead, which is another way to describe being just abused and beaten and mistreated throughout an entire incarnation. So you're going to be dead to life, because that's not alive. Feeling bad and being beaten, that's not alive. We pretend that it is. It's not. And so there's an illusion of a separate self over there having the life that you should be having, because, of course, it lives on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
feeds on all of that misery. So, of course, you know, there you are. So, I mean, now, you don't have to go to work. You have to, I guess, look for work if that's what's going on in your life now, but you don't have to go to work. So you could literally do things like tie all the fingers of your left hand together. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And every time you become aware of that, it reminds you to get out of your head and come back to where you are. And every time you say, whatever, you turn your attention to the breath, you take a nice big breath, and you find something beautiful.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then when, you know the drill on this one, you know, as soon as that stops working, you know, is it still cold where you are?
Not today, but it's going to get colder.
Okay. So you can get a hat that's too tight. Okay. You
mm-hmm.
can get a pair of shoes that are too tight. You could
mm-hmm.
wrap up your right hand. Okay. But to do something that is so extreme that you cannot be talked into wandering off with conditioning. Because, you know, back in the day, when people really wanted to stay present, and of course there's more to it than that, but it did serve this purpose, they would wear things like hair shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently, now I've never been attracted to that sort of thing myself, so I cannot speak from experience, but apparently it's pretty hard to lose your focus when you're wearing a hair shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I don't believe in making the body uncomfortable, because none of this stuff is the body's fault. But to do whatever it is that brings the body into assistance, that
mm-hmm.
I'm for. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the feet are not going to mind wearing shoes that are too tight or whatever. It's the mind that's going to mind it.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
So that is my best encouragement. And do not stop until you get a significant break in this stuff, until you prove to yourself that you can stay present for first 5 minutes and then 10 minutes and slowly work your way up to an hour, and you can really be there and you're present and you're looking around and you see how beautiful the world is, and you're focused on things that you like and enjoy and that feel good to you and that you appreciate, and you can actually start doing some gratitude practices because you really are present and you get it that there's a lot to be grateful for.
Mhm. Mhm.
But
okay.
You've got to do it.
Yeah.
You've got to do it.
And yes. And I also just want to say, and I've talked to you about this before, fantasy is part of what it uses too.
Yeah.
So try to fantasize
when your toes are cramping.
Right.
Your fantasies will be about getting those shoes off.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
okay.
There is no fantasy, I can promise you this, because I've lived plenty of time in both worlds. There is no fantasy known to humanity that is anything other than a pathetic second place to being present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know.
And, of course, we've talked about this enough that you know that that fantasy is just a setup for self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and let us know. You know, I always say Alex, our monk down here, is, you know, my hero when it comes to practices. And at some point he's going to be offering some of those to people in the Sangha. But he's always got something going on that is reminding him of what he wants his attention to be on. So keep us posted about this, okay?
Okay.
Let us know what you do and how often you have to come up with something new. And, you know, just exactly what kind of program you have to establish for yourself. And for God's sake, don't forget to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay?
Make it just as silly and goofy as you can possibly make it.
Okay.
All right? Because conditioning hates fun.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, that's a great assignment.
Okay. All right. And you'll let us know.
I will.
All right. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Good night. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Right.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful simply because we can. Zen Blues Music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice. Because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life.
Visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have a lot of lights here.
Good, good. That's good.
It is very good.
For the call-in show, you want to have people calling in.
Yes, you do. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Isha, and I'm from Cobb, California.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are things in your world?
Well, what I noticed is that that I have had a lot of fear, and so I have your fear book, so I picked that up and started reading it, and then I also have Making a Change for Good, so I picked that up. And so now I'm doing both of those with fear as the content.
Oh, good. It's great. And
so,
project, isn't it?
It's a great content.
It's great to have a project.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And one thing that I really noticed that's really helpful for me is embracing the part of me that's afraid and insecure.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sometimes my mentor asks her to sit in her lap, which is sometimes we go meditate that way.
Yes. Both folks really enjoying that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes, instead, because otherwise what I do is I force myself to push through the fear and to go do it anyway, which is good, but it's really rough.
It is good. It is good to do it, depending on the attitude of mind. So there's a difference between a child who's afraid of the water and some parent decides that the way to learn to swim and get over this nonsense is just throw the child in the water. Okay, so there's feel the fear and do it anyway. But another way to go about that is to have the relationship as the primary thing that's going on, and learning to swim as a result at some point down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I find that I just, what I was finding that I was doing is I was just not doing anything. You know, it's like I was, like there's lots of things, and then my car is wearing out and my stove is wearing out, and I have a lot of fear around spending the money right now to get a new one, but I really need to spend some money. And then I noticed that, well, there's this tree that's leaning over my house that's growing on my neighbor's property, and I just found myself putting these things off and putting them
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so finally, after reading through your fear book, I went over and asked one of my other neighbors to go over with me to my neighbor that I had to talk to about the tree, and so I finally did that, and
yeah.
and I was able to do it because I embraced the part of me that was afraid and said it's
yes.
okay to be afraid.
That's right. And that's really perfect because she's, we guess, young, right? She's
yeah.
young, and she doesn't, she shouldn't be handling situations like that. But what we're stuck with, most conditioned human beings, is having that approach. So small children are pushed into doing performing in situations that they shouldn't be in, and because they don't have anybody to mentor them or help them or support them or guide them or any of those kinds of things, an awful lot of people stay in that frightened child personality, and then they try to go through life that way. So what you're getting is, wow, that's a frightened little girl. So she doesn't need to go do hard things like that. Now, if you know, the relationship is such that you say, why don't you just tag along? I'm going to go talk to the neighbor. And then, you know, the two of you have a conversation about that before, and then you have a conversation about it afterwards. Then that can be instructive. Yeah?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
to metaphorically stay home hiding under the bed and send a little kid over there to do your dirty work, you know, that doesn't feel good to anybody.
Yeah, yeah. I've been journaling with, you know, like the two, you know, the mentor will say, oh, I hear that you're afraid to do such and such, and then the child will speak, and then
yeah.
of course conditioning will come in and badger, but
that's
but
okay.
It ends up,
as long as you're writing it all down, you see a lot in it.
Yeah, it's really helpful. In fact,
yeah.
I'm sometimes coming back to the breath, I can't do it. But then if I go into if I get my paper out and I start writing down what the voices are saying, then
right.
I can step out.
Yes. That disidentifies you enough, gives you enough distance on it that you can get to a centered enough place that you can see who the players are and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, the more you do this work, the more you're going to develop that relationship. There's the mentor. There's that little girl who's afraid. You know, pretty soon they are just a little team. And that mentor is helping the child do things and explore things, and she's less afraid and she's becoming stronger and more courageous, and it just happens over time.
Yeah, feels really good.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. And eventually, you know, you'll be able to be going around in the world and that relationship is just happening because you know these folks so well. But right now, it's good to use those tools to get some clarity about who everybody is, what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, as you say, to get really clear about which voice is conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes sometimes it contorts itself into an eye.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's hateful, then I'm pretty clear that that's got to be conditioning, because
that's right. Isn't that good? Isn't that the best tip in the world?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then I know that the hateful voice isn't real, and I don't have to listen to it, which is the best.
yeah. You don't have to be in relationship with it. You can spend, it's good. You see it come up. You hear what it says. You recognize it for what it is. Great. But your attention can be, at this point in your practice, on the mentor and that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That they can be your whole going around doing, being in life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the three of you can really enjoy things like buying a new stove or buying a new car or whatever.
The three of us? No. Oh, wait a second. Okay. Who's the other one is the adult?
It's you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
whoever that
there's
is.
There's me, there's a little girl, and there's the mentor.
Yeah, because there's the awareness that can see that relationship. Yeah?
Okay.
And you think of that awareness, or call that awareness, I. You know, we would say you.
The awareness that can come up with the mentor and can see the child.
Yes. Well, yes. And, of course, to me, the mentor is as real as the child.
Yeah. It doesn't feel that way yet, but, because the mentor hasn't been there.
Right.
You know, right. Until I started doing this practice. But the child, it seems like she's been there forever.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. Yes. Now, that mentor has also been there forever. It's just that we get talked out of the wisdom, the clarity.
Hmm.
That's what conditioning does to us.
Hmm.
Can you get a sense of that? You know, when you're around little kids, little people, and they're just fearless and confident and, you know, on top of things, and, you know, and then you can watch conditioned mind get formed and watch them become fearful and self-conscious and that sort of thing.
Yeah, about 7 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fairly long, slow, it's not long in the big scheme of things, but, you know, it takes a while to move a child from that, that somebody who is looking to her or himself, just living in their own experience, to living in a conditioned reality in their head. But yeah, I mean, I think that this is where we say the Catholic Church and modern psychology says it's about age 7.
Yeah, that's... I just remember my daughter being very prim and proper at age 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which seems
she got the program.
Cool. Yeah.
And we try to protect them, but we can't. It's just how it is. And it's not, you know, I don't even see it as a bad thing. You know, it's just how it is.
Opportunity to practice.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Everybody gets to wake up and to choose to wake up and in suffering whenever they want to. All right. Well.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad that the three of you are enjoying things.
Yes, we are.
Good.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
good.
You, Sherry.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Issa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 5 minutes, and we have 3 more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Raquel from Virginia. Hey, Raquel.
Hey.
You're reporting in, I believe.
Yes, I am. As was expected, I was resisting because when you gave me the assignment, immediately what came up for me was, I can't do this because I don't know when I've ever done assignments like this or tapping into visualization or anything like that in workshops in the past. I just feel it's always my mind or, I guess, the conditioning that's speaking. I've never felt that it's myself or intuition speaking. So I resisted, but I finally said, okay, I'm just going to do it. And what came up immediately is all this fear, because when I'm writing with my left hand, and then I see my writing being distorted, the condition just, what comes up is, as I feel, and this is where my mind goes wacko, that I feel I'm being possessed. I look at the writing, and it brings up fear. This is not me. This is, you know, just all these horrific things come up in my mind. But I continue
doing
it.
It doesn't take you back to what it felt like to write as a child?
No, not at all. I feel I'm not even in touch with that. It's just, and that's why I have, whenever I've done exercises like this where they tell you to visualize, you know, and go into a field and what do you see and all that, I just feel I never can get into tap in, you know, to that core of yourself. It's just my mind all the time running the show. And, you know, so I'm asking, you know, what are you seeing or whatever, and it's just my mind is just saying all the answers. So, and what that tells me, I feel, is that conditioning is just so, it's dominating my whole existence for so long that I can't hear.
Yes, indeedy, that is true. In fact, it even gets you to talk about yourself as if it's you.
Right.
In other words, it gets you to say, I was resisting.
Yeah.
Rather than it was throwing up such a cloud of resistance that,
Yeah, because.
But you're seeing that, aren't you?
Yeah, because whenever you talk about the voices saying you, my voices never say you. It's I. And that's why my self-hate, I feel, is so strong, because it's constantly me and how I hate myself and how I'm messing up but you know, just listening to you, I've been on the phone since the beginning of this show, and I just get so excited, and immediately conditioning just wants to beat myself, beat me up and say, okay, you cannot. But I just feel like a little child saying, I just want to jump up and down, and I'm so happy because you just give me so much confidence. And just listening how you work with the callers and how you are not buying it.
Right. Now, let me ask you something, Raquel.
Yes.
Let me ask you something. When you feel that excitement and you feel like jumping up and down, can you sense that that's who you are?
I can, but I also...
Yes!
I know.
No, I only want that answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I have to control it. It's too much.
Yeah, I know conditioning wants to come in and control it because it's too much. But you feel that spark of what life really feels like.
Yes.
Of yourself being animated.
Yes.
All I could tell you is I think you're right on it. That conditioning has had such a hammerlock on you for so long,
right,
has so convinced you that it is who you are,
mm-hmm.
That it's only in those moments that you really get to feel
right.
Who you authentically are. But you know something? There's not going to be any stopping you now.
Well, I was thinking about that because when I was doing the exercise, my whole big story is that I'm not witty and I'm not bright enough, and that is, and so everything goes back to that. And so then when I know when that energy, my life force is there, and I love that part of me, and then, but I've just so bought that other story, and I think,
yeah,
okay, well, hold on a minute. I may not be a witty person. My mind, I wish we were a stronger and more intelligent mind, but it is what it is. But I can still love life, and if I would just stop identifying with that,
yep,
and just tap into that self. And for a
yep
moment, I just felt freedom. It's, oh, boy.
Yes. Yes. Now, here's another thing,
right,
okay? Conditioned mind, that self-hate, whatever terminology works for you, it's not witty, and it's not smart. The witty and smart comes from that life that surged through you. Can you get a sense of that?
Well, I guess, but it's that story. No.
Conditioning is the original wet blanket.
Mm.
It hates humor, in fact, hates it. Okay, it wants everything to be serious and miserable and full of suffering. So here's your next assignment, should
okay
you choose to accept
yep
it. Okay. Now, if you can do it, well, no, I know that this is going to be a stretch, and I know it's going to be hard, and so we may have to sneak up on it, but this is ultimately what I want you to do. I know dancing is in my future. I think it's in yours, too.
Yes, I love dancing.
Okay? Okay, so, and when you dance, do you feel her?
When I'm dance and I'm in touch with that, I feel alive. I love who I am. And,
okay, girl.
Yeah.
All right. The other place that I feel is waiting for you, and maybe you're already there, is art.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about somebody who thinks that there is some kind of art that is meaningful.
Right.
I'm talking about the equivalent of finger painting.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Or art, just for fun. You know, if you could do art with a bunch of 5 and 6-year-olds, that would be the place. You know, just no standards, just channeling Jackson Pollock. You know, just,
yes,
yeah, so that you come out looking more like a canvas than whatever it is that you were working on. So, and to let that little girl just have free reign to express herself. And as you go along this next week or so, till we talk again, let her talk to you about what she would like to do, okay? Whether it's just, go to the beach and take off your shoes and walk along the beach or whatever it is. Whatever it is that she will guide you in, see if you can let yourself do it.
All right. I know
okay
that with at the minute you said art, that's it, the big wall, because I have horror stuff about being a child when it comes to art.
That's right.
Ah.
But she doesn't.
Okay.
And that's the key. Once again, she'll lead you. Okay?
Okay.
She will lead you out of this.
I don't know if I, this one I just, anyway. So,
that's okay. Just dance.
Dance, just dance.
But let her talk to you about not art, but expressing herself with stuff. I don't care if it's Play-Doh.
Right.
Okay. Just let her play, because play is going to be the thing that the two of you can do together to give her the best access to your life.
Okay.
All right. Keep us posted.
Thank you so much, Sherry and Michael. I you don't know how much this means to me, of your being there and for the whole Sangha. It makes such a difference. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Raquel.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Raquel. What a pleasure, Sherry.
What a pleasure. I know we went over time, but that was just too much fun.
It was too much fun.
Yeah.
It was great.
So, Yeah, so I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for this. It is, Sangha is the best.
Sangha is the best. We have two more callers. I'm going to encourage them to call back next week.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah.
And we had many callers and many listeners, and I'm grateful for everyone's participation.
For every one of them. And us.
And us, too. Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you soon, Michael. Good night.
Good night.